Hello, America, and welcome back to the Sea Report. It is March 10th. It is a Friday, and I am your host, Mr. C, also known as Michael Aaron Gossadis, and it's good to be here with you all today. Today's topic of conversation, today's sordid topic of conversation. And allow me to preface this by saying I absolutely do not mind spending time on this topic, only because, again, I think we are looking at another root, ladies and gentlemen, when we're talking about root of corruption, root of infiltration. And we're not talking about, oh, patriots being infiltrated, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about our government being infiltrated. We're talking about our cities being infiltrated, ladies and gentlemen. And it may not be in your neck of the woods, and it may not be in your city, and it may not be in your town, but let me tell you what, in select cities and towns around America, you have corruption going all the way up to the top. Now, we talk about taking back our government and restoring our republic, about cleaning our backyard, about draining that swamp at the local level. This topic of conversation has been the topic of conversation, in my opinion, worth exploring, at least to my satisfaction personally. So, I think we'll wrap today on the entire cartel government collusion and the Thaler case and the different perspectives on it. You know, like I said, I don't mind spending my time on this. This is a root. You know, it's like fixing our elections. That's a root. It's like getting rid of the money changers. There's another root. There are several roots. I mean, the head of the Hydra is many. Okay. And it's like you knock one out and one comes back. Or two come back, I guess, in some cases. I guess it just depends on what kind of a Hydra you're dealing with. But anyways, ladies and gentlemen, so, I guess I could start by saying, yesterday's episode of the Sea Report was totally confirmation bias. Everything, every point of view, every perspective I shared on why the case regarding John Thaler, as presented by Jacqueline Brager to the Arizona Senate and House, Senate Elections Committee and House Oversight and Elections Committee, you know, in a joint hearing, you know, total confirmation virus. It's a confirmation virus. A bias? That's a virus? Was that? That's not a Freudian flip, ladies and gentlemen. That's more like, I don't know, some kind of channel. But anyways, so as the eyes of men begin to open, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, I just had to express that, you know. Does it not make sense to this point in time? When you think about the way things run, when you think about the way DC runs, when you think about the way things roll, it makes sense that, you know, every person who's kind of on the scene or majorly on the scene would be involved somehow. But, you know, that itself does not make sense, ladies and gentlemen. In regards to the Arizona case, for example, you know, we had Katie Hobbs come out, who is the governor, you know, tongue in cheek. How do you call her? How do you call she, Governor Katie Hobbs? Wow. Let's see. When was this? She addressed border security, ladies and gentlemen, 9 days ago. So let's not forget, this is February 28th. Let's not forget this whole case broke open on the 25th regarding what was said on behalf of the Harris Taylor law firm, ladies and gentlemen. And she joked about it. I mean, she gave nobody any type of lenience. Like, this woman is just, she's diabolical. Katie Schnobbs is evil. She's evil. She gave no quarter, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, she just, you know what she did, right? She was all, I'm just going to answer this question one time. And one time only, so I'm just going to say it now because I know this is the burning question. It was almost like the perfect scenario, okay? So she's like, I am not laundering money for the Sinaloa cartel. Just kidding. Like, you know, so just the entire, what's the word? You guys are going on a journey with me. The entire optics, the entire optics of everything, it just makes one sit back and, like, you just wonder if you were Rickrolled, ladies and gentlemen, by Katie Hobbs, right? Okay. But no, we can't go there because, hello. I mean, she probably is laundering money for the Sinaloa, or maybe it's not the Sinaloa cartel, or maybe this was a case that jumped in front of another case that was about to break, right? So either serve as a distraction or to prepare the world for things to come. I'm not dripping into any type of, this is what I just said right now. 100% speculation. 100% speculation. Do not listen, speculation. But this thing with, yeah, that was crazy, guys. But okay, so you know, because I mean, Katie Hobbs has done a pretty bang up job. She's vetoed like what, 14 or 15 pieces of legislation since she's been in office as the supposed governor. Okay. But you know, this is the thing, guys. Like, you know, if you read around other publications, of course, in the mainstream, lamestream, okay, you're definitely going to get these types of opinions, points of views, perspectives, and trajectories and projections. And also in the establishment sense, ladies and gentlemen, and watch your Just the News types of establishments, because they're going to bring you Just the News, ladies and gentlemen. They're totally middle of the road, right? 100%. Okay. 100%. Okay. Still propping up those machines, still propping up people who totally opposed election theft, stolen elections, who totally demonized the citizens' right to audit elections. You know who I'm talking about, from Wisconsin, Senator gone bye-bye. Okay. She's no longer there, so I guess we don't have to talk about her no more, but you know, we can send her off in a golden ship on a golden lake, right? With golden rain, right? John Solomon? Anyways, okay, so I'm just saying, guys, okay, fair, fine. I guess that's fair. But, you know, you don't have to take sides, especially, and one shouldn't, right? Especially if they're Just the News, you know? I'm not Just the News. Anyways, so... okay, so getting back to the point that you will a lot of these people, they will talk about 2022 as if though it was the big miss. Now, keep this in mind, guys. This is still a talking point that the enemies and the unseen enemies, okay? The unseen enemies, ladies and gentlemen, they, ladies and gentlemen, the ones who will turn coat later on, okay? Moving forward, all right? Thinking fast, okay? Stay present, all right? Find your center. Those, ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about 2022 midterms and how, you know, the Republicans didn't show up, and it'll be a mishmash of blame or, you know, whatever. They don't acknowledge that it was stolen, okay? They don't acknowledge that there was something amiss, right? They don't acknowledge that it was stolen. Like, Carrie Lake is the Trump of 2020, 2022. Do you guys get it? Okay. Like, the alarms are flashing. Okay. It was stolen, you know. And so, the tale continues. People are pulling up their popcorn, right? You know? So you have Hobbs 13 bills that make up what GOP lawmakers dubbed a continuation bill. She vetoed them. Okay. Let's see here. The continuation budget called for $15.8 billion in spending in fiscal year 2024, including more than $850 million in one-time spending. That's what the Republican-run Arizona House asked for in this spending bill. And Hobbs vetoed the bill, saying she wanted her executive budget proposal. It called for $17.1 billion. So it's $2.1 billion more. And called for $2.1 billion in one-time spending, as opposed to $850 million. So you add $2 billion to that budget, and then you want $2 billion in one-time spending. Gee, I wonder what she could be spending it on, right? Kind of makes you wonder. Mm-hmm. She says, now that this partisan exercise is over, I'm asking the legislature to genuinely and seriously work with me on a budget that puts people, not politics, first. That's what Katie Hobbs says. Okay. I think that was my best Katie Hobbs, okay? And then things about Speaker Ben Thoma, who we'll talk about in this episode today. I mean, we're gonna wrap it today with this cartel story for now. It's a root. Don't you mistake it, ladies and gentlemen. It is a root. That's why I took my time on it in light of other things, ladies and gentlemen, because there's more things. There's more things that I'm seeing. I don't know. Call me cuckoo. You know, I will see what I see. Okay. You don't have to see what I see, but you can't unsee it once you see it. Okay. Or you could. It's up to you. I don't care. Okay. Governor Katie Hobbs condemns far-fledged drug cartel allegations. Okay, oh, so that was, I think, during that press conference. But she's like, no, I'm not involved with the Sinaloa cartel. I'm not taking bribes from them, and I'm not laundering their money. Just kidding. They didn't put the just kidding part in here. Like, she said it. I mean, you can go look at it yourself. That's what I was saying. She's heartless. She's a heartless bitch. Like, she just totally, she's as cold as ice. She gave us no quarter. She denied it, and then she made fun of it. She fed into the fodder of the, what do you call it? She fed into the fodder of the aluminum tinfoil hat, right? She could not resist but to say, just kidding. Right, just kidding. Well, you know, because I think she is. but I don't know. I haven't seen it. I can't say that she is. There were several reasons, okay, given to proceed with caution. And we will actually talk about that also today as well. You know, but I was just talking about this terrible job that Katie Hobbs is doing as the supposed governor of Arizona. You know, like, everything that they want to do, she undoes. Like, she does not let them get away with it for anything. Okay, like, okay, hold on. Let me see if I can find. There was a, oh, what was the other thing that she had done? She had also vetoed a bill that would ban critical race theory. Okay. I mean, okay, with all of the stories about the people who, you know, the stories about the parents who show the homework from their child's class, and it's all like race-based math. It's like, if you have a classroom with 5 black students and 2 white students, and then the 2 white students die of poisoning, how many white students do you have, or how many students are left? I don't know. It's stupid crap like that, you know, or it's stuff that like grooms them into sexualization, you know? So, I mean, all of these stories are prevalent, you know, these are not just things that are one-off incidents that are happening at random, like, you know, podunked towns, ladies and gentlemen. These things are happening, you know? And so it makes sense to me that you would absolutely, you know, ban this from being even possibly being taught in its collegiate level material, like university stuff, right? You don't do this stuff to kindergartners, okay? You don't teach them about systemic racism and how to play with their wee-wee when they're like in kindergarten, right? You know, that's a no-no, okay? So this was Senate Bill 1305 in Arizona, a proposed ban on teaching critical race theory. So Katie Hobbs's take on it in her veto letter:
it's time to stop utilizing students and teachers in culture wars based on fear-mongering and unfounded accusations.
She said that the bill only served to divide and antagonize. So that was another piece of legislation that she vetoed. Okay, so she's just like, she's just swatting them down, ladies and gentlemen. Anyways, so, okay, so I found this on Twitter, and I'm going to share it with you guys. And it said this. It said, "Stop posting drug cartel allegations." It's from someone who has a stormtrooper. They have a stormtrooper avatar on their Twitter. Amuse is the name of the account. It's got a blue check mark. Anyways, it says, "There are a lot of us tweeting that there is evidence that at Katie Hobbs has taken bribes from Sinaloa cartel. Currently, there is zero evidence that these allegations are true. In fact, the lack of evidence provided by the accuser should give us pause." In fact, that is a true statement, you know. But the only reason why I say that is because they presented the allegations, and, you know, it's not like there was like a blueprint of all the proof that was laid out and a skeleton for everyone to see with all the evidence and, you know, exhibits, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And in fact, again, they have called for an investigation. And that's the thing that I think that I would like to drive. And I'll stop here and say this at this point, 20 minutes almost into the show. The point I would like to drive home today is investigation, investigation, investigation. We need an investigation. Okay. My point of my show is not to point the fingers. Okay. The gravity of the case before us, the root that it is, that is systemic, okay? That, ladies and gentlemen, okay? So the information that provides, yeah, it's a crazy story. What was it that we said yesterday from that article? An unhinged story from an unhinged lady by an unhinged senator in an unhinged, committee room. Like, really? Okay. So I'm saying here and now, you know, ladies and gentlemen, this situation should not fall by the wayside, okay? Like, an investigation, okay? Someone needs to look into this. It was brought before a Senate committee. Was it the appropriate place? Had she been able to lay out all of her facts? Like, had she been given the 5 hours? Or maybe the Thaler people been given the 5 hours? Because now it's like, oh, well, they're also in a relationship. I don't know. Don't attack the people. Look at the information. Okay. Look at the information. Okay. I've said that from day one, ladies and gentlemen. I've said that from day one. All of my motives and intentions have been honest in that, ladies and gentlemen. So, with that said, you know, you have this warning of sorts on, and it's at Katie Hobbs, like they tagged her in this. So I feel like this is maybe part of her thing. I don't know. So anyways, it says, first, the accuser, Jacqueline Brager, a local insurance agent who testified to the Arizona Elections Committees, did not provide any evidence to back up her claims that Katie Hobbs, several of the Maricopa County supervisors, 12 Maricopa County Superior Court judges, and the mayor of Mesa took bribes from the Sinaloa drug cartel. Yeah, I mean, there is also their book, okay? But, you know, we'll make this easy for you guys, all right? We'll make this easy for you guys, ladies and gentlemen. And just investigation. Instead of evidence, Brager explains that her boyfriend, John Thaler, a local attorney, was told by his ex-wife that Hobbs and her fellow Democrats were involved in the racketeering scheme. Evidently, Thaler is working on a book about the scheme that will provide additional information. Brager claims that her boyfriend sent a draft of his book to former Governor Doug Ducey, but he did not read it, much less act on it. So, again, this is from this Twitter account. I have no idea who they are. They have a stormtrooper on their thing. Okay. That tells me all I need to know, anyways. At the end of the day, it concludes, Thaler's ex-wife might be right. Katie Hobbs and her fellow Democrats might be working for the Sinaloa drug cartel, but until she provides some sort of evidence, anything can be confirmed or debunked. We should not be repeating this stuff. Jacqueline Brager, John Thaler, and his ex-wife need to bring their evidence forward before we start repeating it on Twitter. Just my two cents. So I'm just saying, guys, like, investigation. Okay, so there was another part to this. I had a chance to review Jacqueline Brager's testimony report. From what I can glean from the documents, Hobbs bought or refinanced properties 8 times between 1997 and 2021. Brager claims this is statistically show more. This is statistically improbable. Read the document yourself and see if you can support the claim that Hobbs was laundering money for the cartel. I don't like Hobbs. I think she's likely cheated, but I don't see anything that proves or even suggests she was in business with the Sinaloa drug cartel. So, but I don't know. I cannot speak to this other than they said this had to do with falsified signatures and other things like that. So, part three. I really don't want to get into too much, but Brager's boyfriend, the lawyer telling Hobbs/cartel story, says that his ex-wife has kidnapped his son to cover up this story. You can review that information there. So yeah, and so we shared that yesterday about the Free McKinley thing. Okay. So anyways, this is where this kind of story goes, ladies and gentlemen. You know, people respond to this. Yeah, this is crazy from my perspective too. Could be a grift or a method to discredit Carrie Lake, or could be true. Or it's too good to be true. Who knows? Let's see here. Conservatives have to stop promoting these people with wild stories that are too good to be true until they have seen the evidence. They will discredit and dismiss the whole story as a conspiracy theory, even if it's based in some truth, i.e. Pizzagate/Dominion. Or not slash, but comma Dominion. Get the receipts. That's a good statement there too, you know. That's why I said, you know, like about yesterday's episode as well, you know, because it's true. Like I could, you know, there's so many things I could tell you that I have seen myself, that are, I mean, some people probably wouldn't even believe me. Some people probably don't even believe me when I tell them now about some of the things that I've seen or experienced or heard of, you know, even if it was just, you know, 1 degree away, ladies and gentlemen, about how this all really does make sense, of course, you know. Anyways, let's see here. So there's something here. Uh, 500 plus pages of evidence and backup data from the investigation. Various physical proof documents includes lists of alleged people. See, that was the other thing that I'm talking about here too, guys, because, you know, John Thaler did talk on other, you know, did talk on other, shows about, you know, having other information. So I don't know, investigation, you know, it's just crazy, guys. So what does it say? Okay, well, we'll skip that. okay, so that was something else I had found online. Okay. There are a lot of, you know, various articles. This one here, Postmillennial, talked about, basically covered it. Okay. What Jacqueline Brager said, everything we went through yesterday, you know. Let's see here. We'll just read, I just want to read through this real quick. This is from the Postmillennial. Okay. And it says here, the Harris Thaler Law Corporation, as principal investigator, Jacqueline Brager presented their shocking findings detailing how a money laundering investigation in the Midwest revealed alleged corruption in Arizona. In 2006, the United States Attorney's Office in Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa investigated the laundering of drug cartel monies through a complex series of single-family home purchases in those states, Brager told the committee. By 2009, numerous real estate agents, escrow companies, and title insurers had been indicted, charged, and convicted of racketeering. In 2014, our office was asked to review the case files and to determine whether monies from the sales of the properties had filtered to property purchases in Arizona, specifically in Maricopa and Pima County. So there would have been access to some material already through a previous investigation. The Sinaloa cartel is notorious for being led by the infamous El Chapo, the Mexican drug lord whose real name is Joaquin Archivaldo Guzman Loera, who was widely considered to have been one of the most powerful drug traffickers in the world before his capture in 2016. According to the investigator, it was concluded that several real estate agents in Iowa had set up a laundering system in Arizona and thereafter had transferred the proceeds of sales to Panamanian corporations. In 2018, Mr. Thaler discovered, incidental to another matter, a series of trust deeds evidencing that cash laundering through single-family residences in Arizona was pervasive and ongoing, Brager continued. With that, a new investigation began with the focus being on money laundering and related racketeering activities in Maricopa County and several other Arizona counties. The Harris Thaler office currently represents several parties directly damaged by the racketeering activities. So again, ladies and gentlemen, I will say, in pulling away from this article from the Postmillennial, And these are words quoted directly from the document that Ms. Brager spoke from. There was an entirely other investigation that was happening aside from this. It seems like this is the child of that investigation. And that's not with the pun intended, and with the lack of a better word, that the corruption rooted down to Arizona from whatever they were dealing with in Iowa or Illinois or Indiana, whatever it set up there. That they found that it came down to here. Now, the thing about it is, just as that post that I had shared with you guys, I found on Twitter, that I found quite apt to share, making the point that it doesn't prove the fraud based on these allegations, you know, but again, there's this entire other investigation, as Mr. John Thaler had spoke of. So I'm just on the teeter-totter here when I'm saying to you guys that between what the plaintiffs have said in you know, at face value versus, you know, what we're seeing in the presentation, ladies and gentlemen, it becomes a kind of words versus actions kind of thing, if you think about it. And it does get muddied up with all of the interpersonal relationships that we see going through this. But as a root, prime root of corruption in our society, in the interstructural foundations of our society, ladies and gentlemen, to have corruption that rampant and that provocative, so as to have the prowess to condone malicious activities based on that corruption, ladies and gentlemen, in our society, is something to take pause and look at. Especially when we're examining the corruption that is rooted in our government, period. I mean, is that not why we are at the point that we are at today, ladies and gentlemen? Is it not because of the corruption that is inside of our government? So why does it not stand to reason to look at the corruption that is within city government? And when it's in our face and when someone is presenting it to you, rather than looking at the drama that surrounds the personal lives of the presenter and, you know, the plaintiff and the person who is trying as they might to figure out their own personal course, ladies and gentlemen, I can't judge it. Okay, this is not my story to judge. Okay. I'm not going to sit back and say, oh, well, he's writing a book on it, but I don't know. Maybe they're closer to solving the case than they're letting on, ladies and gentlemen. And by presenting it to the face of these legislators, you know, I would almost, not fully, but almost question anyone who sits in office at this point. Because again, as I said earlier on in this presentation, and I will admit, ladies and gentlemen, we are now on, what is today? We're a day past, ladies and gentlemen. We're picking up from yesterday. And, you know, I will look at, you know, who is even talking about 2022 as being a stolen election? Like, let's get real, guys. Who is talking about 2022 being a stolen election? Who is talking about it? Who is saying 2022 is stolen? 2022 is botched and stolen. Redo, redo, redo. You know, like, hold the door. 2022 was a stolen election. Who is saying that? Carrie Lake?
President Trump was not running in 2022, but he even has mentioned, you know, 2022 was a stolen election, you know? So come on, ladies and gentlemen, get your heads out of your asses. You know what I mean? Like, those two phrases right there, ladies and gentlemen, sums it up totally. Get your heads out of your asses, you know what I mean? Because 2022 was stolen. This is a tuning fork of sorts. It's a clear line of delineation, ladies and gentlemen. You want to talk about a line in the sand. You want to talk about crossing that line. Who's not talking about 2022 being stolen? Who's talking about 2022, the Republicans just didn't show up? Who's boasting that narrative? Who's saying that the people, the grassroots people, were not strong enough in 2022? When not only did the candidates of 2022 face all the opposition they did, more than half of them were wiped out by illegal gerrymandering by their own political party and other tactics that their party used to ensure that the grassroots did not get in and did not have a chance for their peers to cast a vote for them. That's the way this establishment uniparty works. So for any of you folks out there, okay, folks, are you listening? Okay, because like I said, they're running all their operations out there. They're doing all their schemes. I don't even know what it is for anymore, ladies and gentlemen, if I'm being honest with you. I don't even know what it's for anymore, okay? I know the ideals, and I know the symbology of what some of these things stand for. I know what they mean to me, okay? But we'll just have to be real with that. We'll just have to be real with that. Okay, folks? Okay, so things are happening as they are, ladies and gentlemen. It's pretty obvious to see. Okay? Like I said, don't know why things are even going the way they are anymore. You know, like, they are happening the way they are happening, regardless of whether or not you're paying attention. Okay. So we carry on with this story here. You know, again, a root. Another root. No one else will talk about it, right? Don't forget, guys, you can use the 2022 elections and you can use the red wave as another litmus test. And you can ask them. Because there was a red wave that hit America. Okay? I think I'm the only one who will say it. There was a red tsunami that crashed on these shows, okay? And not just in commie Florida. If that thing went red the way it did, it went red the way it did for a reason. But no. I'm not being fair, okay? I'm not being fair, all right? We don't know DeSantis's intentions, even though what President Trump said, what was he? He was a Paul Ryan surrogate? No, just kidding. He held Paul Ryan's baby in his womb. I don't know. Maybe he did. I don't know. I don't know. He has. Never mind, ladies and gentlemen. Let me stop right there. Okay. So let's get back to the story at hand so we can put a little bit of it to rest. Okay. Because there's a couple of things I want to touch on. There's a really good article that I'm going to share with you in just a sec, coming from the Conservative Treehouse. Now, again, in examining both sides of a story, I think what we can take away from everything today, so that, say, for example, if someone like Mr. Jonathan Thaler and Mrs. Jacqueline Brager or Ms. Jacqueline Brager were to hear this, they could say, we are just being fair. Like Brannon House said on his show, and I appreciate him for bringing the perspective forward, being able to ask the questions, right? Because it's being presented to the public, it's being presented in the arena of public discourse that will forever be logged into the public discourse, ladies and gentlemen, the history of Arizona. You know, that joint committee meeting, wherein all five speakers, including Jacqueline Brager, presented to them their case, ladies and gentlemen. The question is, and the more important thing is, as I'm sure someone like Brannon House would agree, is investigation, to be able to ask the question. Will we have to wait until the book comes out by John Thaler? Maybe. I'm not going to judge it, okay? I'm not going to judge it because by the sound, by what I have read and seen, it seems they have given the information to other individuals in authority, though it may not have been in the state of Arizona, besides the governor, according to what they say. So, anyways, back to the post-millennial article. In the nearly 100-page report, Brager dug into the entire investigation, naming Donna Rae Chavez, a resident of Mesa, Arizona, and her daughter Brittany Rae Chavez as principal preparers of the documents necessary to effect the racketeering enterprise. Okay. Makes me wonder if... Oh, man, we're going to go on fire for this one, ladies and gentlemen. It makes me wonder if, what are their names? Give me their names. God, give me their names. What are their names? They're like, don't say it. Don't say. Freeport. Never mind. Wanda Rae Freeman. No, just kidding. Do you think Ruby Freeman and Wanda Rae Freeman were caught up in the same kind of shtick that Donna Rae Chavez and Brittany Rae Chavez were stuck up in, or no? Do you think they're being exploited by the Dixie Cartel or something like that over there in Georgia? Like, well, that's not funny. Okay, it's not funny. No, it's not funny. I should not laugh. I apologize. It's not funny if that's what's going on. Okay, but Brittany Rae Chavez and Donna Rae Chavez. Well, I mean, Donna Rae Chavez, that's the mama, right? Okay. So to date, more than 10,000 falsified documents have been recorded with the Maricopa County Recorder. We estimate that more than 35,000 warranty deeds / trust deeds evidencing fraudulent transactions exist in the database. The number of falsified notarizations exceeds 15,000. Donna and Brittany's participation in racketeering activities also includes facilitation of bribes to public officials, tax evasion, payroll theft, bankruptcy fraud, insurance fraud, and extortion, Brager said. So no, this is kind of sticky now that you think about it, because if the wife gave this to the husband, who is now looking for the child, because the wife and the grandma are gone with the child, right? Okay, we're just gonna work this out mentally. I know this is not your typical good for radio broadcast kind of shit, right? Because this is real life happening right now, okay? But let's just work this out real quick, okay? And this is all speculation. Don't take this serious. This is not professional, like, freaking, you know, analysis, okay? I'm just talking out loud, okay? I am just Joe Blow Layman
Go blow yourself, okay? Now, so the number of falsified notarizations exceeds 15,000. Donna and Brittany raise participation in racketeering. So, Brittany is the whistleblower. Donna's like, no, shut up, Brittany, okay? And John's like, give me my kid back. I've been working on this investigation, and it just so happens that you are part of the investigation. Like, so, you know, I don't know. This is real sticky. It's real sticky. Like, what if the cartel was like, John, you better get Brittany to give us our shit, you know, or something like, no, that's bad. Like, I don't know. Okay, I'm washing my hands of this. Let's change the subject. No, just kidding. Okay, no. We have to do our due diligence, okay? We have to do our due diligence, and we have to see it through. Okay, follow through is where we usually fall through, ladies and gentlemen. So we will continue, because this is in the public arena. So if I'm thinking these crazy thoughts, imagine what other people are thinking, okay? So that's all I got to say, okay? So we'll fast forward over some of this stuff. The money funneled from false house deeds in Midwestern states back to Arizona went to politicians and election officials. According to the investigation, the election fraud has been going on since 2004, Brager alleged. Since 2004, elections within Pima County, which is the county, I believe I told you guys, where the cartel was running the town, and some of these people are under duress. And I believe this was a story that True the Vote told. You know what? You know what? Call me out if I'm wrong. I don't care. It might have been Pinal County, but I think it was Pima County. And Maricopa County have been manipulated through infiltration of the county databases resulting from bribes paid to executives at election service providers, including but not limited to principals of Runbeck Election Services, she said. In addition to impacting local elections, bribes and infiltration were used to affect the outcome of races during the November 3rd, 2020 election, including the outcome of the race for Maricopa County Recorder and the outcome of the November 8th, 2022 election, the race for governor, secretary of state, and attorney general specifically. Okay, now we had Carrie Lake for governor, we had Mark Fincham for secretary of state, and we had Abe Hamaday for attorney general. Hamaday, I don't know where you came from, bro. Okay, Fincham, you're on shaky ground, my friend, but maybe not so much so, because Fincham is also calling for the current elect to come forward with their deeds of trust. Like, to come forward, just to come forward and just be like, here's it all, just lay it all out, you know? So that, I mean, that's a kind of a two-edge, because Fincham could be like, well, you know, I'm not elected, so I can call him out. Or, you know, B, really have the balls, the cojones, and the integrity to back up that bolo tie, right? To back up that bolo tie. And even though he's working with people like Ali Akbar, I don't know, Tori said that. Okay, but that's what she said. You know, Tori says that a lot sometimes about Ali Akbar and Mark Fincham and them working together. That is the McCain crowd, okay? That is the Karl Rove crowd, okay? That is the Council for National Policy crowd. That is the crowd I do not jive with, okay? So that's the problem with Fincham. But, you know, he's calling him out. So, okay. All right. I don't know. You know, I trust Tory. So Tory said that. Anyways. Now you have here. This is classic. Okay. So here's the part I think that everyone's missing about all of this. Okay. So it says, since 2004 elections within Pima County. Okay, and maybe I should look it up right now while we're sitting here now, since we're here now. Let's look up, and I know it's on my Rumble, okay? I know it's on my Rumble page for sure, because I shared the actual broadcast. Let me make sure I'm not out of time yet. Hold on, because we're recording this in fashion.
Okay, we still got time. All right. I know it's on my Rumble page. It was the Arizona True the Vote hearing that happened in the summer of 2022. I believe it was summer 2022. It might have been early summer, like April, like late April, early May kind of summer. If not, it was summer 2021, but I believe it was 2022. Okay, so let me put Pima County, Arizona. Cartel elections, True the Vote. Okay, go away. What is this? All right, so it says... Is this it? I think this is it. Hold on. 15 attorneys general call on department of issue. No, wait, that's not it. That's not it. That's way not it. How did it even get there? Okay, hold on. Oh no, I might have to look somewhere. I might have to look somewhere specific, like a specific website, because in the searches it might not have it. Geno. Let me put the year, actually. That might help too. I think it was a 2020. Let's see here. I should just go look on my Rumble app. Whistleblower claims 35,000 votes were added to Democrat totals in Pima County's 2020 election. Interesting. Very interesting. But this is not the one that I'm looking for. Okay. And we go here. Okay. And let's go here. Okay. And let's go. Oh, I guess already almost towards the. No. Yeah. Okay. Beep, beep, boop, yo. It's got to be here somewhat. I found it, maybe. Maybe. Okay, 2,000 mules, True the Vote, show sample of track, a tracked trafficker. Do I not have the whole thing? I could have sworn I did. What the frick? Maybe it's a little bit up ahead. Here it is. Why don't I have it?
Ooh, it plays. Awesome. There's Kerry Lake. Oh my god. Okay, y'all, I know we got a little bit off track, but as I was saying, and I looked it up, it was actually Yuma County where this happened with True the Vote in May of 2022, where they discussed it before a hearing in Arizona. But nevertheless, if you look at it, it says here, since 2004, elections within Pima County and Maricopa County have been manipulated through infiltration of the county databases resulting from bribes paid to executives at election services providers, including but not limited to principals of Runbeck Election Services. Here's what they're not talking about. Here's an angle maybe you'll hear in the next few days to a week. Democrats, ladies and gentlemen, the blue. Who does Runbeck donate to? Well, none other than the Democrat Party. Now, this is not about getting party on party, of course, because you guys know I don't believe in political parties. I mean, I am what I am at the moment, but I don't believe in political parties, ladies and gentlemen. I'm pretty sure George Washington felt the same way. And if only it had been that way, we might not be so susceptible to division. Because, you know, debate is good in constructive, critical construction and thought. But seriously, ladies and gentlemen, to stand divided, to not have a solid, united foundation, that is a fracture we don't want to deal with. So we want to know our foundations are strong. The connection to Runbecks and the Democrats here is strong. Okay, that's all I'm saying. You know, that's something that people will probably look at soon. Because if Pima County and Maricopa County are infiltrated and they're taking bribes from the cartels at the executive level, including the people for Runbeck, that would mean essentially the cartels are either propping up the Democrats or the Democrats are working with the cartels to muscle the people of Arizona. What do you think it is, America? Now, I'm not saying those are the only two options, but we're thinking this through, okay? And that's kind of why we're revisiting this for the last time. Maybe not the last time. I actually shouldn't say that. This may not be the last time we revisit this topic, but we are going to give it a little bit of attention. Now, I told you guys I wanted to share with you this conservative Treehouse article about that explosive Arizona Senate testimony alleging Sinaloa cartel influence over public officials. So this one kind of goes into the personal lives of Mrs. Brager and Mr. Thaler. But let's see what it says. It says, if it sounds too good to be true. Okay, folks, this is a story that dragged me into a rabbit hole for 2 days. If you've seen the video testimony of Ms. Jacqueline Brager in front of the Arizona Senate Committee investigating election issues, this outline is intended to help you navigate the story. On February 23, 2023, Ms. Brager delivered testimony to the Arizona Senate claiming documentary evidence that shows judges, politicians, police, local and state officials, as well as multiple groups, organizations, and individuals associated with in government and elections operations, the state of Arizona are being bribed and under the influence of the Sinaloa cartel from Mexico. It is not coincidental that everything associated with this story seems explosive and astounding. It is also not coincidental that you could spend hours looking for specific details of the allegations, including watching interviews with each of the participants, and not find your answers. things are not what they seem. I'm going to start by sharing the 42-minute video. Okay, so this is from the article again. So again, this is the conservative treehouse, okay? As she outlines in the video, Ms. Jacqueline Brager, a forensic investigator, represents the interests of an attorney, Mr. John Thaler, in delivering information to the committee that would be pertinent to their interests. The hook to grab immediate attention is to apply the accusations of bribery, public corruption, fraud, and money laundering to one big name, Katie Hobbs, who is now the governor of Arizona. According to the claims, Mrs. Katie Hobbs and her husband were participants in a racketeering scheme originating from the Sinaloa drug and human trafficking cartel. Real estate transactions using dummy mortgage companies, holding companies, and title companies are part of the alleged operation. Essentially, the primary real estate allegation works like this. The Sinaloa cartel uses proxies in the United States to set up fraudulent corporations, mortgage companies, etc. Those proxies then launder drug money through real estate transactions using the fraudulent companies. If they need to bribe a person, the cartel finances the mortgage of the individual as a way to pay the property owner. The mortgage is never paid back because the financing is the bribe. The mortgage company and the title company are essentially the cartel. I'm going to drop videos with Mr. John Thaler at the bottom of this outline so you can listen to the explanation of the allegations as they are claimed. The money laundering allegations are widespread and involve bribing public officials, judges, police officers, city office holders, county clerks, court employees, politicians, as well as a variety of local and state officials to include state representatives, state senators, and various state officials. The fraud is claimed to encompass private sector payrolls, education systems, insurance claims, as well as setting up fake identities, fraudulent records by using illicit access, as well as fraud associated with local, state, and federal tax evasion. All of these issues are explosive in scale and scope, and Ms. Brager, together with Mr. Thaler, claim to have all the documentary evidence to support the allegations. Tens of thousands of documents detailing thousands of fraudulent transactions and several hundred examples of fraudulent records placed in the civic systems. Now, in this article, they said, again, they'll put the videos up. Now, Mr. Thaler said that they have all of this evidence. No one has investigated. I think that's the least we could do. Don't you think, guys? Back to the article. On the specifics of the allegations, there is no way to easily estimate whether or not the claims are accurate. On the specific allegations against Mrs. On the specific allegations against Mrs. Hobbs, the claimed real estate transaction could support the claims, but may also not support the claims because Brager and Thaler assert that similar names are used in the transactions. So it could be Katie Hobbs and her husband. It could also be totally innocuous people with similar names. This only applies to Hobbs. But the issues with Hobbs only scratch the surface. The allegations are much more widespread and encompassing than just Hobbs. This is where you, as an information absorber, need to apply a strong dose of skepticism, apply instinct and common sense. This is also where we would say, wait a minute, who is this guy John Thaler and Ms. Jacqueline Brager? And one, are they stable people? And two, do they carry motives behind these allegations? In my testimony, this is where major warning flags are located. So I think I'll let you guys turn to the rest of that article if you want to know what they say. I mean, I could summarize it. You know, basically, there's a child custody battle that's going on here. John Thaler and the whistleblower Brittany Ray Chavez were married. John Thaler himself has even said that even their divorce is fraudulent because the papers were not fraudulent. I guess that has something to do with the notary again. But again, investigation, investigation, investigation. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, what else could we possibly ask for other than an investigation? And that's basically the crux of this conversation in closing. And it should not be lost on the people, ladies and gentlemen. It should be known. Because we are living in this type of a world. And if we don't at least have an investigation, if this kamikaze firebomb job that Liz Harris has braved and has opened for the American people to have a conversation about, so that we can watch the actions of these elected officials. Are they who they say they are? Look at their actions, not at their words. Mute everything they say, unless they're being as wily and chastising as Wendy Rogers was to Seth Ketchel on that day, February 23rd, 2023. She's like, make sure you say Madam Chair, boy! Whoa! Sir, yes, sir! All right, I'll lick them lips. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure that you did not want to part on today's episode as such. I do apologize. It took me a day removed in order to get out to you. It started on a Friday. I said it was Saturday, but it's actually Sunday, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you very soon. This is Mr. C. Michael Aaron Cossidis signing out. This is the C Report. Do you see it now? America is awake. If you're paying attention, we'll see you next time. Take care. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? It's Mr. C from The C Report, and I'm stopping in for just a sec to encourage you guys to head over to thecreport.com. At thecreport.com, you can get more information on The C Report, check out episode resources, follow our blog and get new articles every week, join our mailing list, and stay abreast on the latest news and information. That's right, head on over to thecreport.com. That's www.thecreport.com. And be sure to follow us on our social medias, Truth Social, Rumble, Twitch, Clout Hub, and Pill.net. Okay, guys, you guys get a little bit of an addendum to today's episode because I had meant to carry on this stream of thought when talking about the Runbeck services and the connection to the Democrats. Okay, now that's because on the C Report, as we've talked about Runbeck services since we went on the air, February 2021, we were talking about Runbeck long about April, May, June of 2021. Okay, because Runbeck services and the work they did in Georgia and in Arizona, in Maricopa County 2020, was not unnoticed by people who were taking a look at the election theft and the fraud and how it occurred in that race. So the Runbeck services is very well known, okay? And Runbeck, as we reported back then, were major donors to the Democrat Party. I mean, the founder and CEO, amongst others, supporters of the Democrat Party. This was already a conflict of interest and an issue. And we know that the activities that took place in Maricopa County in 2022 with Runbeck and the printing services and the ballots was way more egregious than what they did in 2020. In 2020, they were like just basically dropping off these ballots. But
since everyone was really keeping an eye on these people in 2022, you know, Katie Hobbs, man, I don't know what to think about Katie. I really don't know what to think about. What if Katie was a man? No, I don't think she's a man. She's got small shoulders. Anyways, okay. Toma Takeover. Okay, so this is what I wanted to share because the current speaker of the Arizona House, whom is a Republican, his name is Ben Toma, his family works with Runbeck Printer Services. So this is the addendum for today. I meant to include this before I said adieu at the end of the episode today. So, you know, if you want a little bit more, I'm back. Hello. We're not done yet. But I just wanted to make sure I included this in this sitting today before I said adieu again. So here is an article from, where is this from? We'll take this. It's from the National File. Okay. It's called The Toma Takeover. Runbeck CEO serves as board member with newly elected Speaker Toma's brother. Isn't that interesting? Okay, so Arizona's new GOP Speaker of the House has family links to Runbeck, the shady ballot company at the center of Carrie Lake's historically unprecedented election fraud claims. Okay. Now, it's a shame that they put it that way because, I mean, the election was outright stolen. Like, everything is so out in the front in your face with so many witnesses, so many people pointing the fingers, so many people saying, stranger danger, like, everyone is saying, look, this is what happened and no one is paying attention. And the media is just really kind of whitewashing it, you know. The media is really just kind of whitewashing it no matter how you look at it. Okay. Ben Toma, I mean, we can thank the National File for presenting this information. But these are Carrie Lake's historically unprecedented election fraud claims. When everyone and all the affidavits say it happened. Ben Toma, says the article, the newly elected GOP Speaker of the Arizona House, has family ties to Runbeck, the Democrat-owned ballot company at the center of Carrie Lake's lawsuit to nullify Arizona's 2022 gubernatorial results, which, much like in 2020's presidential race, have been marred by fraud, voter suppression, and massive irregularities. Despite the evidence and a viable challenge to the reported results, Toma is cozying up to Democrat Governor-elect Katie Hobbs, who's already been at the center of multiple election fraud scandals as Arizona's Secretary of State. Now, this article was published in December of 2022. So she was still governor-elect, this schnobs. Okay, it says here, on the Precision Arrow website, the three men are all publicly listed as board members with Ellington as chairman, Mihai Toma as president, and Andre Toma as secretary. Toma has stayed quiet on Carrie Lake's election integrity fight and is publicly aligning with Hobbs. Arizona conservatives say it's part and parcel of his family ties to left-wing Runbeck and indicative future failures to secure Arizona's elections. So if people just want to let this story fall by the wayside, and they start to see funny things happen in Arizona, like things don't get done, maybe Ben Toma will be taking a page out of the book of the Speaker of the House of Texas. Maybe he'll be looking over to good old Dade Phelan there, and he'll start assigning Democrats to key positions within their chair, if that's the way their state politics work. You know, maybe some strange things will start to happen within the Arizona House. Like all of a sudden, they start to get Democrat majorities. You know, what's going on there? That's all going to be your Speaker of the House if it runs anything like Texas's State House. Let me tell you how you turn a red state blue. It has to do with your Speaker. Okay.
It also has to do with the spinelessness, the willinglessness, or the lawlessness, the sinfulness of those whom have supposedly been elected. Nope, they've been selected for a reason, ladies and gentlemen. The shoe fits. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Do you understand what I am saying? Toma has stayed quiet on Kerry Lake's elections. Yeah, don't say. Reminds me of a Dade Phelan, reminds me of a Robin Voss. Speaker of the House, Toma, right? With a Democrat-run family business. Just kidding, it's not a family business. But they're on the board, president and secretary. The Toma family's ties to Runbeck, says the National File, are far from just coincidence. Under its former name, Riggins Engineering, Precision Aero is listed as one of the Black Mountain Investment Company's major assets, a firm where Mihai Toma serves as president and CEO. It is unclear if the asset is still listed under the name Riggins Engineering on Black Mountain's website for the purpose of obscuring the Thomas family connection to Runbeck. So compelling are the irregularities and fraud allegations in Arizona that a judge has already ruled that ballots in troubled Maricopa County must be sampled, bowing to a petition from the Lake campaign. On Monday, more court action is expected, and Runbeck will be at the center of it. You have a whistleblower from Runbeck, the ballot company, that said approximately 300,000 ballots were illegally inserted into the tally, election attorney Christina Bob told Bannon's War Room. The ballots were not coming from drop boxes, not coming from polling locations, but just being brought in by employees, Bob explained. In addition to the massive ballot drop, according to the 70-page lawsuit filed by Kerry Lake to throw out Arizona's gubernatorial election, tens of thousands of illegal mail-in ballots were factored into the vote totals. Shockingly, in Maricopa County, the epicenter of election fraud in Arizona, when ballots are picked up at the post office, they are not taken back to the local election department, but are instead given right back to Runbeck, where they're scanned behind closed doors. Maricopa County is the only county in the nation that engages in this practice, according to a Gateway Pundit report. The revelation that Arizona's GOP speaker-elect Ben Toma's family ties to Runbeck comes as he publicly cozies up to Democrat governor-elect Katie Hobbs, even as Kerry Lake, the nominee from within his own party, wages one of the biggest election challenges in American history. Ben Toma said, had a productive discussion with Speaker-elect, Speaker-elect Ben Toma and President-elect Warren. We are ready to find common ground and get to work on behalf of all Arizonans. That's not a good sign, ladies and gentlemen. Not a good sign at all. Ugh. Can't stand her. Can't stand you, Katie Hobbs. Arizona's 2022 election is far from the first time that Runbeck has been at the center of an election fraud controversy that benefited Democrats and the uniparty establishment as a whole. Thank you, National File. Thank you. God bless you. In 2020, the company was at the center of historically unprecedented claims or complaints of election fraud and irregularities in both Georgia and Arizona, and has still yet to produce proper chain of custody documents more than 2 years later. Thank you, National File. God bless you. In addition to being major Democrat donors, the Runbeck family, which resides in Arizona and owns Runbeck Election Services, also owns a patent on a computer system used for on-screen ballot duplication and generating a revised ballot. National File reached out to Arizona-elect Ben Toma for comment on this article and his family ties to Runbeck Services, but received no response. I would surmise that everyone in Arizona should probably contact Speaker Toma. Now, that's what I was also saying to everyone. Go and listen to the Peter Santilli conversation with Senator Sonny Borelli
And I met Sonny Borelli, okay? I shook his hand. I'll be honest. I didn't know who he was. Oh, no, wait. Yeah, I knew who he was at the time. He was busy. I met Sonny Borelli. I met Senator Borelli in Nevada, okay? Briefly. It was nothing to be memorized. But in the conversation between Pete Santilli and Sonny Borelli, Senator Borelli, okay, Senator Borelli did not sound like an innocent man. I'm going to say it once. I'm going to say it twice. Let me say it 5, 6, 7 more times. He did not sound like an innocent man. He did not sound innocent. He was telling Pete Santilli, Pete, don't talk about Ben Toma. Pete, come on, Pete. Come on, Pete. I know I don't sound like an innocent man. Is this live, Pete? Are we live? No, we're not live. No, we're not live. No, 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 we're not live. We're recording, but we're not live. That's all I got to say about that, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I got to say about that. So that was the other topic of conversation. That was the addendum I wanted to add on to this. There was a Gateway Pundit article here. Runbeck president and COO Jeff Ellington is chairman of the board of directors for a company owned by Rhino, Arizona House Speaker Ben Thomas family. So even Jeff Ellington, okay, who works for Runbeck as the president, is a chairman of one of his family's companies. This is really inbred, ladies and gentlemen. And here you can see Toma was selected. So that, again, makes one wonder, how did Liz get in? How did Liz Harris get in? Was that truly like an algorithm break, right? Or do they just give one to get one to just, or were they going to try and make an example of her? Is that why they allowed her in? Do you think, or maybe it was because there was just not a strong showing on her side? I don't know. I never examined her race, you know? But this Gateway Pundit article here, as I said, Runbeck president and COO Jeff Ellington is chairman of the board of one of Ben Thomas family's businesses, right? Okay. Runbeck Election Services president and COO Jeff Ellington chairs the board of directors of Precision Aero, formerly Riggins Engineering Incorporated and Pinnacle Manufacturing Company Incorporated, which is owned by Black Mountain Investment Company. Runbeck is used by printing mail-in ballots and signature verification in Arizona's election. The Toma family founded Black Mountain Investment Company, and three of Arizona House Speaker Rhino Ben Toma's family members sit on the board of directors. Mihai Toma and Andre Toma also sit on the Precision Aero board of directors as president and secretary, with Precision Aero chairman Jeff Ellington, who is also president and COO of Runbeck. Mihai Toma and Andre Toma are the brothers of Ben Toma. This sounds like racketeering to me, okay? Like, this sounds gnarled, ladies and gentlemen. This sounds bad. Like, this sounds like personal enrichment using law and using legislation and cheating elections because they're running a ballot service, and the people that work on the board, their person's the freaking Speaker of the House. Hello? Like, this needs an investigation. What is going on in Arizona, ladies and gentlemen? I'm telling you, the point of today's episode was investigation, investigation, investigation. Here's an article from a blog called Clever Journeys. What does Runbeck Election Service say about donations to leftist ACT Blue political donations? As of December 19, 2021, there's been no official response from the Democrat Party, the Republican Party, or the controversial election ballot printing company, including their leaders, Kevin Runbeck or Jeff Ellington, regarding new revelations regarding serious conflict of interest, concerns in suspect election outcomes. Runbeck Election Services describes themselves on their website as an Arizona-grown, fully American-held, privately owned company. Owner Kevin Runbeck was born and raised in Phoenix. Runbeck Election Services' focus is elections. For this reason, Kevin made a personal decision and has not made campaign, PAC, or other political contributions other than one donation
to support the Arizona candidate for president in 2008 and a couple of donations to a print industry PAC political action committee to support postal reform issues in 2019. Kevin no longer makes any political donations. In regard to Brian Runbeck being a donor to Act Blue, the leftist Democrat site for political contributions, the company's website offered that Brian Runbeck is Kevin Runbeck's brother. He has no ownership stake in Runbeck Election Services, nor any ownership of Runbeck products. And it shows all of their donations from January 1st, 2019 to December 31st, 2020. Okay. Oh, and 2019 to 2020. That's not a long time. Biden for president, the Democrat Senate committee, something, Act Blue, $635, $40, $595, $40. Okay. In 2020, Brian donated $1,050 to specific campaigns through Act Blue. He made a total of 28 donations that varied in value from $1,250 to $100. For 25 of these, he also contributed 10% of the donation to cover the credit card transaction fee. These tips varied in range from $250 to $10 for a total of $103. All 25 tips are considered a separate donation, as the FEC makes no distinction between the two. The FEC logs a donation twice if it is earmarked for a specific campaign, once donated to Act Blue and once again when transferred to the specific campaign. Ultimately, Brian gave 53 donations, 1,050 plus 103 in admin fees for a total contribution of 1,153. Runbeck believes that political contributions are a matter of free speech, protected under the First Amendment, and believes that its employees should be allowed to exercise this right. Significant issues have come to light since their website statement shown above. The COO conflict of interest. There is no explanation of why Runbeck's president and chief operating officer Jeff Ellington has worrisome ties with deep state operatives in Arizona. In December 2019, Runbeck suddenly purchased over $14 million worth of 11 ballot printers. This was before Americans ever heard of COVID. Jeff Ellington explained the operation. In just 10 years, Ellington was hired as vice president of vote by mail and became the president/CEO in January 2021 after the controversial 2020 presidential election. Jeff Ellington is the president and COO of Runbeck. He is also chairman of the board of Precision Arrow, which is a Toma Black Mountain Investments company. All roads lead to the Speaker of the House. Dun, 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 dun. Ellington is on the board of directors of a corporation with Arizona's Rhino House Speaker-elect Ben Toma's family. The Toma family founded Black Mountain Investment Company. Mihai Toma and Andre Toma sit on the Precision Arrow Board of Directors as president and secretary, with Precision Arrow chairman Jeff Ellington, who is also president and COO of Runbeck. Mihai Toma and Andre Toma are the brothers of Ben Toma. You know, so really what it sounds like is Arizona is illustrating to America how business and corporation can come together in order to cheat the people. Okay. Now you have a person who is a Republican Speaker of the House, who, as the Speaker, does not want someone like Carrie Lake to be the governor representing Republicans. No, she's not establishment. So in marriage with business and finance, you have them and this printing company and this other investment company, which is supposed to be the degree of separation or two from Ben Toma to the fraud of 2020 and Carrie Lake and the utilization of this printing company, which is also an asset or a component or and it's not an accessory. It's more than that. It's a partner. Okay. Because they make money off of this also. Right. So all of this is collusion. This is racketeering, guys. This is like, they're using government to enrich themselves and be in power. This is some kind of a power grab, some kind of a power move. I don't think I need to read any more from this article. I mean, there is more. Don't get me wrong. The devil is in the details, and there's a lot of devil here, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, you can go check this out. This was a Clever Journeys article. I've never heard of Clever Journeys. CleverJourneys.com. I don't know. CleverJourneys.com/2022/12/25 what-does-runbeck-election-services-say-about-donations2-2leftist-actblue-political-donations? Question mark? Nope, there's no question mark. It's just a forward slash. Anyways, very interesting article. Okay, guys, I just had to get that in there. Because, you know, I was like, we need to talk about Bentoma. Sonny Borelli, Senator Borelli, did not sound like an innocent man when it came to Bentoma. They sound like, shut up, we don't want to talk about it. Like, don't talk about this. Like, what the, you know? Does not sit well with me. And let's not forget, you know, they were our heroes. But there was a change of character from some of them. On that February 23rd, 2023 episode, hearing in Arizona. And it has been said once and it has been said twice and I will say it thrice, but it's probably been said a whole lot more. The end isn't for everybody. The end is not for everybody. I hope I see you at the end. Be safe. Be blessed. And God bless America. I love you all. Take care.